This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. For the average Joe, and when the average Joe wants to shop like a pro, the average Joe can go to CGR Wholesale, our Fan Early Morning Show sponsor. Some not great news from the last couple days here. Bub Carrington from Pittman's Basketball declaring for the NBA draft, coming as a surprise. He did make a comment a little while ago that he was going to return to Pitt, but yeah, officially announced yesterday he's going to the NBA draft. Also, the Pirates lost their first game of the season yesterday. That one not as, you know, heartbreaking. For me, I always convince myself, like, you're in that, you know, eternal hope early season vibes, and yeah, I'm like, yeah, 162-0. And yeah, well, not possible. Equally sad, though. I'm not happy about it. But I'll get over it because, you know, it's a long season, 162 games. Can't go undefeated in professional sports. Just not really likely to happen. Unless you're in the NFL, but they play a lot less games. Either way, Penguins also have an important game tonight. And they have an important game for the rest of the year. They've got 7 games left on their regular season schedule. Their last game is scheduled for April 17th. So we're really getting into summertime, getting through spring here. Doesn't feel like it. It's going to be below 50 is the high today. It's still weather impacting the area. But, you know, getting through spring, getting towards summer here now. And that indicated by the start of baseball and the end of hockey season. Will the Penguins play through into the summer? I don't know. But it's not impossible. We broke this down a lot yesterday. How the Penguins have a chance. They've got two avenues that they can make it in. Let me say that again. That was weird. They have two avenues that they could travel to get into the playoffs just by winning and catching other teams that are on slides right now. The Philadelphia Flyers are one of those teams. The Flyers are third in the Metropolitan, so it's top three in each division make it. And then there's the wild card section where the Penguins would have to hop a few more teams to make it in, but they're not going to be able to catch the Tampa Bay Lightning, but the other teams on that list could be caught. So there's a couple ways that they could do it. They just need to win almost every game, if not every game, on their schedule and then get some help from some other teams in their schedule down the stretch. It's manageable. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's definitely on the more challenging side. The Flyers right now, 83 points. I mean, you're not catching the Rangers and the Hurricanes. They've already clinched. That's not a surprise. And then so the Penguins right now trail the Islanders, the Red Wings, and the Capitals. Now, they play the Capitals tonight, which means that that would help them catch the Capitals if they could win this game outright, and overtime doesn't seem to be an option anymore. It was inspiring in their New Jersey Devils win how they did the opposite of what they usually do. They were slow early on, and they seemed defeated early on, but then the third period happened, and they kicked it on in the third period and won 6-3. So they have the opportunity here to, if they beat the Capitals, they'd be right up in there because they'd have 81 points, I believe, at that point, and they'd be right up against the Capitals to take that spot. The Red Wings right now also have 82 points. You're not catching the Lightning at 91, but wild card's realistic. And then again, the Philadelphia Flyers, if they continue their collapse, the Penguins could catch them. So the Penguins are not out of it, and every game at the end of the season right now is crucial, is huge, and you got to love that. Not that changes shouldn't happen this offseason, but they can qualify for the playoffs. Heck, you know, we'll celebrate. And you can't get past the first round of the playoffs if you don't make it at all. So they'll at least have an opportunity to win in, you know, and get past that first round, that elusive first round, if they make it in. Now, I'm sure, like I did with the Steelers, I will come on here on this show and say bad things about them if they don't. Because, you know, that's just my natural reaction. But in the moment, I like to live in the moment here and say, oh, you know what? I hope they make the playoffs. Playoffs are exciting. Doesn't matter how far you feel out of it. They're exciting. So, but they're in it. I mean, they're not out of it, and it's a shock that they're not out of it because they were, if I recall correctly, they were second from the bottom maybe a month ago, and now they're in it. They're toward the top. It's kind of like Pitt. I mean, there are a lot of interchanging, a lot of intermingling sports stories with these teams this season, these recent years, I'll say. Like with the Steelers and the Penguins seem like they're operated similarly. They put out this facade that they want to win, but some of their decisions made it seem like they were trying to play it safe and barely getting into the playoffs, if at all, and then losing in the first round perpetually. Now, the Penguins and Pitt are having similar seasons this year because, well, Pitt, they started out slow and they picked it up and somehow finished fourth, was it, in the ACC. Penguins are kind of the same deal right now. Now, they've still got to conclude their season. They've still got a couple weeks left, even less than 2 weeks, now that I think about it, left in their season. And right now in the wild card standings, they're fifth. They're fifth of 10 teams that are on this, that are in these standings. So, in the East, Eastern Conference. So, yeah, I mean, similar for Pitt and the Penguins. And so we'll see. I mean, can the Penguins do what Pitt did, in a sense? So a lot of intermingling storylines, a lot of consistency among many of the teams in Pittsburgh. You're welcome to call me as well at any time, 412-928-9370. You're welcome to participate. You can also talk to me on X at callus_33 is my X handle there. That's callus_33. Mention me in a post, make some comments, and if you do that, I usually respond in written form on there, but sometimes I respond on here as well when intriguing comments are made or points are brought out. Anything you want to say, you're welcome to do that. But if you want to voice your opinion, you want your voice to be heard on the air, you can get a phone line now, 412-928-9370. I take calls all morning. I guess this is the Before the Ruckus show. You know, I like to ease you into the morning with some conversation and really get a sense for what you guys want to talk about this morning. And then, of course, Crowley and Doran, they bring the ruckus right at 5:40 with, you know, their show. So, Pirates, I'll talk a little bit about the Pirates now. And I say a little bit, and then, you know, I like baseball, so I'll probably go on a rant here as I kind of dissect their first loss of the season and what to feel like. But you're still welcome to get a phone line and interject at any point, 412-928-9370. And before I go on my rant, because I know when I start talking, I'm gonna go down a path, and it's gonna take me a while to get through this point, because I do have some concerns. But first, we do have a caller on the line now that wants to talk, so I'll let this person speak. Good morning. What's your name?
Anthony. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. What's on your mind?
It's a question about the NFL. With the moves that Houston's making, do you think the moves that the Steelers are making are just, you know, a team like that getting Stephon Diggs? Does what the Steelers do with these quarterbacks that have had their chance, does it even matter at this point? I appreciate you taking my question and my call. I'm going to hang up and listen now. Thank you.
All right, Anthony. Thank you for the call. Yeah, of course, what they did still matters. I don't know exactly how to answer that. The Steelers bolstered their team by getting a new quarterback room, and the Texans are bolstering their team by getting, we'll call him an elite wide receiver. He's one of the better wide receivers in the league. Does this change my expectations of the Steelers? No. The Steelers are kind of still, the Steelers are still driving an uphill battle here because you have two quarterbacks that are unproven. So my expectations of the Steelers, just from their approach standpoint, has changed, but tangibly with the talent they have on the team, yeah, I mean, my expectations haven't changed. Russell Wilson had great stats last year, but played on a losing team. Don't know what to expect from him this year as he continues to age. Justin Fields played in Chicago, and they've been not great over the last few seasons, so maybe they didn't develop him properly. Who knows? He has a lot of tangible skills that under the right personnel, on the right team, under the right coaching staff, it feels like he could excel. So my expectations, are still around the same. I want to go in. I want to see how they do. I'm just excited to see what happens because the Steelers are new and fresh. The Texans are becoming an established threat in the AFC, and this move just kind of bolsters that. But, you know, they've already had C.J. Stroud to play quarterback for them, and he had a great first season in the NFL this past year. So, yeah, I mean, my expectations still haven't changed for the Steelers, I wouldn't say. They've still got unproven talent. I'm more excited to see the Steelers play, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are better. We have to find out. But just the fact that it's different is something that I like. And it doesn't feel like they're being safe and trying to strive for the middle. They're going all in or bust. So thank you again for the call, Anthony. Appreciate the question. And you out there, you're welcome to get a phone line as well. 412-928-9370. I'll answer any of your questions. Pirates, Steelers, Penguins. If you want to voice your opinions on Pitt men's basketball with Bob Carrington declaring for the NBA draft, that's also become a big story. So you're welcome to voice your opinion on that as well. But with the Pirates now, who a team that lost its first game yesterday this season, very sad, teary-eyed, they didn't go 162-0. I'll get over it here soon. But I have a slight concern with Mitch Keller. Not a serious one, but I have a slight concern with how he's going to develop in his major league career. The extension was warranted, and I like that players are getting money and getting paid now because they're players who deserve it, and you want to give your players some confidence and say, you know what, I trust you enough to give you a nice, healthy cut of pay, and now you go out there and perform. Now, Keller, over his first couple starts here, has been a little iffy. I really wanted Mitch Keller to be the ace of this team and the established ace, even with Paul Skeens coming up. I wanted Mitch Keller to be the established ace, and I wanted him to go into the season being a threat. Now, there were some signs of his pitches that were moving in yesterday's game, but ultimately he struggled in a few scenarios and did not set the Pirates up to win that game yesterday. So I just get concerned because I right now for this season, Paul Skeens may be the ace of the future, and I am acknowledging that. That's not something that, you know, is a long-term plan for me to think about. But for right now, I want Mitch Keller to be that established ace. And it's just feeling like I'm starting to have doubts creep up on me. You know, now, especially because John Wehner said it yesterday, and it's a quote that stuck out with me, something that he said, if they hover around 500 until the All-Star break and then the young guys start coming up and adding that extra jolt into this team, they're going to be dangerous down the stretch. They could, you know, what he said exactly was it could make for an exciting year. I took that as here they come, danger, you know, tough team. So I want to see now, like their offense carrying them through this season. We've seen yesterday, okay, it's officially not sustainable. We could watch them come back, be the battling Bucks for what, those first five games where they won. That's all good, but now we've seen what it looks like when a pitcher has your number and the offense can't back it up. Now, they scored three runs. It's a healthy amount. And Dan Zangrilli also said that, too, and I love that, and that's going to be like my standard for the first half of this season. If the starting staff's ERA can stay around four or under four, then that means that the offense has to score four runs. And so far, the offense has been scoring a very healthy amount of runs this season. No trouble there. It's just when the starting pitching, like Bailey Falter had a bad early part of his start, and then Crowley went on and did what Crowley does, and he said that Falter doesn't deserve a rotation spot, which is, it's a fair take, especially when you're excited about Paul Skeens. But then you have Mitch Keller, who in the second inning gets a two-run lead early and then gives up four, you know, in the bottom half. That's the kind of stuff that you got to watch out for, and then the Nationals score five, and then boom, it's over that four-run threshold there, and then you lose. So the offense carrying this team is not sustainable, and while the Pirates have scored many runs, other teams have scored as well. I don't think the Pirates have a shutout win yet this year. So they're not that it's not what we expected. Many projections said that their lineup was going to be strong and their pitching was going to have more question marks than usual. But when Mitch Keller goes out there, I want Mitch Keller to do better. And so far in these first couple starts, he hasn't inspired confidence in me. Not that he couldn't get back there, not that there's room for improvement still. I get a little bit concerned about the entire starting rotation. Like, somebody. Now, Jared Jones gave an inspiring start. Marco Gonzalez had a quality start in his outing. But I expect, just as Mitch Keller is the ace, I expect a little bit more, and I would just hope that the results start happening for him and he turns it around, because these first couple starts, not as inspiring. Again, still room for improvement. I want to have optimism that he'll figure it out. But this first half of the season is crucial, because the Pirates have said it. They're protecting a lot of their prospects. They're developing a lot of their prospects down in the minors. They're not rushing to promote anybody. And they say that they still have prospects that need to check boxes and do things that they need to do to earn their way onto the major league roster. I think that's fair. But if the Pirates are going to take that approach, the players that they have now carrying this team to the All-Star break is crucial. So I like that John Wehner said that. If they make it to around 500 around the All-Star break, it's going to be an exciting season. Totally agree with that. But that makes every game in this first half of the year is important to stay around, you know, that 500 mark. Now, again, they're 5-1. It's one loss. But again, last year's April and then how the rest of the season went also indeed concerns me. Like, I take it one day at a time, and I encourage you as Pirate fans too. There was big hype. There's everybody talking about, oh, they would have to have a catastrophic rest of the season to not even be close to qualifying for the playoffs, blah, 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 blah. And then it happened. So I say take it one game at a time, feel out one game at a time, take every day for what it is and move forward from there. We can critique every game, and that's what doing these shows are for, is to have these conversations. It's fine to have the conversations, but don't let your feelings linger too far this season. I suggest just take it one game at a time, see how they are, and then if trends start to happen, talk about the trends. And I see a trend there with the starting pitching, and I'll talk more about that. I got to take a break here, but I will come back and briefly talk a little bit more about what I'm seeing from this team and what they can do to have success for the majority of this season. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. I'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevy. You can go to sunchevy.com, shop there as well. It's going to be cold over these next few days for the Pirates home opener. It's expected to be cold as well. I put on Twitter, I will not wear a jacket to the game tomorrow because I'm going with Crowley and Doran and Austin Bechtold. You might want to wear a jacket if you're smart. I have 46 today, low of 36, 45% chance of rain tomorrow, 30% chance of rain with a high of 42 and a low of 33 through the greater Pittsburgh area. So it's fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Going to be cold for the Pirates home opener on Friday against the Baltimore Orioles. Then it's going to warm up over the weekend. Sunday would be a good game to go to, 55 high on Sunday. And then we're going to get more spring-like temperatures next week in these early forecast projections. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show, easing you into the day with conversations that you want to have. You're welcome to call 412-928-9370. You can get a phone line here in these last few minutes that I have to talk with you. Talking about the Pirates mainly now. Just touched on the Pittsburgh Penguins a little bit earlier. And Pittman's basketball, Bob Carrington declaring for the NBA draft. Saddens us all as Pitt fans. Good luck to him, though. And we'll see. I mean, there's more of a conversation to have. Is he actually NBA ready? But not enough time to delve into that. And then the Penguins, just one common denominator for them is win every game because that gives you the best chance. Don't even go to overtime. Just win every game outright, and you've got a legit shot to get into the playoffs. Pirates, talking about Mitch Keller a little bit, talking about the pitching staff. And now absorbing more that you cannot rely every game on the offense to come through. Trevor Williams, former Pirate, pitched yesterday against the Pirates. And Stephen Broad, I was watching him on TV after the game yesterday, just talking about that Trevor Williams' spin rate was so slow. Now, that's odd to hear because you want to strive for those high spin rates. But he was talking about the spin rate was so slow on Trevor Williams' pitches that the hitters were thrown off balance by that. So mixing pitches, too, can yield success. And that seems to be what Trevor Williams did. Threw a lot of pitches with movement. Some of his pitches had a slow spin rate, like on his changeup or on his curveball, and he got the Pirates off balance for most of the night. Now, the Pirates, did weather play a factor? Maybe, you know, wasn't the best conditions. National School, they still scored 5 runs, 4 off Mitch Keller, so they figured it out. So that's not a giant excuse, but I'll leave some leeway for that a little bit. The Nationals and the Pirates, they still scored 3 runs as an offense, which is good. But with the pitching, the starting pitching ERA for the Pirates being around 4, that did not meet the quota for what it would take to be in the game. And, of course, the Nationals did win 5-3. No shutouts yet for the Pirates this year. The least amount of runs scored on the Pirates this season was 2. The Miami Marlins, that was back on March 29th in that first series of the year. That was Martin Perez's start. So, yeah, they're giving up runs at a pretty high rate. The only 2 games, it was Martin Perez's start, and I believe then Jared Jones was the other one when the Pirates won 9-3. Yeah, it was Jared Jones' start. So, 2 and 3 runs were the least they've given up. Other than that, it's been 4 or more. The Marlins scored 5 in the first game, 7 in the second, and the Nationals have scored 4 and 5 on them. So, it seems like this is a theme where the pitching is not always going to be able to be sufficient, so the offense has to carry the weight. Now, can they do this for the entire season? Not literally all 162 games, but if they can do it more often than not, it is a winning formula. Dan Zangrilli said it too. He said that he talked about the pitching being, or the hitting needing to get 4 or more runs a game to match the ERA that the starting pitching has had. But he also said he thinks the Pirates can go into this home opener at 6-1, and they certainly do still have that opportunity. So we'll see. We'll see. Game tonight, or today, I should say, starts today, and we'll go into the night. 4 o'clock start, 4:05, Pirates-Nationals in what will be a rubber match between these two teams.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.